นะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะสัพพะปัสสะกะระณังกุสะระสุปัสสัมปทาสัจจิตประโยชน์ทัปปนาเอตังพุทธานัสสะสะระณังติGood evening, everyone. This evening, I came together with my friend monk, Venerable Pra Suman Gitti. He's from Kathmandu, arrived Australia 6 months ago. We're going to come and stay with us about 2 years. And then, Kun Kim Max Winnie, she's wife, me and the monks from Panini.And the topic today we're talking about Buddhism 101. What does it mean 101 to you all? Number. What is the significance of the number 101? Why have to be 101? Anyone like to share?Idea with me? Yes?
It's like a basic Buddhism.
Like a basic Buddhism. Thank you. Anyone else? Actually, 101 seems to be quite understanding for all the students in college or university as a basicIn this way, we say that 101 is a code, like Da Vinci code. Because no one else understands why 101. Like Kim drove the car, driving and asked her, what does it mean 101? No idea why Buddhism 101. And then Prasuman said, oh, I know, that means that more than 100%. That means extraordinary. Because normally you got 100%. If 101 means too much. In Thailand we call เกินบาท ไม่เต็มบาท If ไม่เต็มบาท means the currency money, $1, 100 cents. ไม่เต็มบาท means less than 100 cents. Means a mad person, a quite forgetful person.Crazy person. If เกินบาท means that too much, another kind of madness. So 101 is only the code used in university or college, just to mean that beginning or start. Now, if we look in another way of interpretation, 101 has another dimension.In particular, in the Buddhist study, in the Buddhist practice, one is I. We all I. I try to study. I try to practice the Dhamma. I try to practice meditation. I do good. I stop doing bad. I start to be a nice person. I start to be diligent. I have more calmness in my meditation.I'm grateful to my parents. I try to practice that unconditional love, metta. I try to be helpful to my friends. I help many people cross the streets. I try to clean up my own dishes. I try to make up my own bedroom. I try to be nice to my, what you call your friends, you share the same apartment, same room. I try to study well. I try toAlso study the Dhamma. This is all about I, everyone. And then what is the Buddhist teachings is all about? That is all in the center. The destination of the Buddhist practice is to be all, to be zero, or to be empty, voidness.That means totally let go of everything. From I, become zero. From self to become selfless. Nobody doing good. Nobody doing bad. All things that you try to meditate, all the good karma that you try to do, eventually the destination of the Buddhist practice, they all should become zero. They all become no value. Do good and eventually no value. Study hard, eventually zero. But we have to look into the spiritual way, not physical way. If physical way is zero, people get shocked, frightened, and see that Buddhism is so pessimistic and so negative. Because you have to let go of the word I, self, that number one, have to go away. You have to become zero. Then you attain Nibbana or enlightenment, perfect peace. Because this all idea of Buddhist practice is to overcome attachment to self in order to attain that perfect peace. Spiritual value of zero does not mean that we gone broke. Does not mean we are blank. From university students after study Buddhist practice all gone blank. After study almost complete 4 years in university, eventually last semester gone blank. This is different meaning. Zero is a spiritual value of letting go everything completely. All we call the perfect peace, purity of heart. Eventually, I no exist. It's become natural, become peaceful and pure. Same nature to the mother. In that case, no one exists. In that case, good and bad karma not exist. Good and bad karma eventually have to let go, both of them. So doing good means zero karma. No need to talk about doing bad. Try to offer Sankathana offering to the monks, and the monks say zero value. Do more chanting, zero value. Practice more meditation, you gain nothing. Eventually have to be like that. In order to attain that zero value, that means the emptiness, voidness of self. But after people understand and practice like that, until they attain that we call voidness, completely letting go, non-attachment, then it become one again. That one is means that we all one world. Yeah. We all one. Like the song we call We Are the World. We are one. We are one that we share the same fate of birth, old age, sickness and death. We are equal. The body is equal to one another. That will be impermanent change. So look at everyone around us, we share the same thing. Eventually we become friends in this world. Friends who travel up and down, impermanence of the body, impermanence of happiness and unhappiness in life. No more discrimination. No more good people, no more bad people. It's just someone who tried to do something nice to others, maybe called as good person. And bad person is just only someone who not understand themselves, not understand others yet, and still do something as the experiment, cause harm and hurt someone. But in the world may say bad people. But in the spiritual practice we say that person have no understanding of themselves yet. So we can say that we are in this world learning through our real life experience. No good person, no bad person. Because we are in the same current of imbalance. That is how we see the world as one. Everyone becomes one. Because whatever I do, I affect other people too, more or less. If not physically, verbally. If not verbally, mentally. We link to one another. Like my breath, breathe in and out. When we breathe in, I take your carbon dioxide too. Alright? When I breathe out, I share my carbon dioxide with you. And the trees take my carbon dioxide out, recycle to become oxygen, and they breathe in again. So we all share the same thing, same planet, same thing. So looking at one another as friends, eventually it becomes metta, unconditional love. So eventually, when we look at one another as unconditional love, and understand that we all looking for the same thing, happiness in life. So the whole world will have the chance to stop war, stop fighting, stop harming one another. Because the whole world becomes one. One here does not mean that I have to knock down the other countries. So I'm the one ruler of the world. Like dream of Alexander the Great. Like Napoleon Bonaparte dream, he master of Europe, he will master of the whole world. Like many military leaders in the past, like to be one ruler. And that is what ancient history talking about. Maharaja means the great Raja, great king, ruled by only one king in this world. But they forgot that to rule the whole world, cannot rule by military power. I cannot rule the world by using economic power, money, to control other countries. But Maharaja, in the spiritual term, in ancient time, talking about rule of the world by the Dhamma, by the truth, by whatever called the positive nature. Because that will make the whole world peaceful. In history, there are many people try to rule the world by the Dhamma. And some just misunderstand, rule the world by weapons. And that's why wars happen repeatedly in history and never stopped until now. Because people would like to be one, the whole world to be one, but under me. That's a problem. But if they understand this basic Buddhism 101, they have to delete the word I first and become zero. Then they will rule the whole world. Because the whole world will become one. So that's why this code 101 is important. It's not that basic. Go from the beginning, go to the highest point. As we said that enlightened Buddha, we have no value at all if he didn't teach, correct? If he attained enlightenment by himself and he keep quiet, then he has no use to the whole world. Jesus Christ, after he got something, whatever you believe in, he shared the message. He helped other people. Mahatma Gandhi of India, Mother Teresa, Dalai Lama, or whatever, whoever great in the history of mankind. They can do good a lot and try to look at the people as brother and sister. Because look at the whole world as one. But in order to get that one, they have to be zero first. Not myself, not my people, not only my land, not only my country, not only my culture, but everyone. Looking for the same thing. That's just how one world can happen. So we can see that is the highest aim, not only in the Buddhist practice, in all the spiritual practice in this world. Try to lead people to let go attachment to self, to overcome that ego in order to have that perfect peace in the mind. And that's how we can share metta, loving kindness. Different masters in the world talk in different ways, according to cultures, according to traditions, according to custom of different areas in the world. The Buddha was born in India. Actually, now they call Nepal. Sometimes Nepalese people are not happy when they say Buddha was born in India. So now in this century, it's called Nepal. But those days, no India, no Nepal. It's just Mahachanabatta, Mahachanabatta. Southern kingdom, the kingdom, southern part of Himalayas mountain. So, because of the tradition in those days, that practice in that Indian subcontinent, that's why he modified, and whatever people already practicing, try to adapt and teach. But I believe that he also opened mind. His knowledge not only limited in that mountainous area, because the city of Kapilavastu or Lumbini is alongside of the Silk Road out of India to join with Afghanistan, Pakistan, Central Asia, to China, Persia, and to Mediterranean kingdoms. So he know how the Greek think. He know because those days the Greek already start their philosophy teachings. There are some people who share the same time of the Buddha talking about impermanence. Already happened in the Greek world around 6th century BC when the Buddha was born. And that's why you can see that why the Buddhist monk dressed like this. I went to Athens last year into the museum, archaeological museum, and stand next to the statue of Plato, Socrates, Pythagoras. And the tourists not only taking the picture of the sculpture, taking picture of the monk. That's the way that we dress, similar to the Greek philosopher in the past. That answered my question. I went to Athens myself in order to see that why I dress like this. Dress like that Greek philosopher in those days. So that show already there. Broad knowledge of Prince Siddhartha or the Buddha in 6th century BC. That's already the connection, Mediterranean area into Indian subcontinent in the names of Silk Road. So his teachings also is universal. Universal to all, not only for people who live in the Indian subcontinent, ready to spread out through the Persian Empire. 6th century BC, Persian Empire covered from Indus River all to Egypt, including northern part of Greece too. So we can see that how he modified in order to suit, in order to help majority or more people in the world. Like one thing that we can see, the worshipping of the fire. In Bali scripture talking about three brothers, Jadin, the fire worshipper, the hermits, who start the fire and worship. You heard about that? Otherwise, have time. You have the history lesson Chinese language, correct? History of Buddhism? Or already gone? By William Nian Rong?
Last week.
Or last week. Never mind, you missed that one. Otherwise, come to Mother Noon. There are some hermits in India practicing worship fire during the time of the Buddha. And he was the great master in India those days. That kind of worshipping of fire also been practiced in southern part of Russia, Uzbekistan. That is the birthplace of one of the religious founders, Zoroaster. If you heard about that. Zoroastrian religion is the major or the official religion in Persia. And those days don't believe those they have to think that India is not a big country. Only small different kingdoms join together. But the biggest country, biggest kingdom is Persia. Since Zoroastrian practice of fire worshipping is a major practice in the Persian world. From Persepolis all the way to Athens and become Memphis or in Egypt. the practice of worshipping fire. So what happened? The Buddha said that that fire worshipping, the people forgot to look into their own mind. They're just feeding the fire through the firewood. Actually, it's indigenous because of in southern Russia, the natural gas came out underground and the fire happens for thousands of years, even until now, or some part of India. The natural gas leaked through the rock and the fire keep on growing. That is what inspired people to think of God, fire as God. Because it's a kind of supernatural thing to happen. The fire keep on feeding itself for thousands of years. But the Buddha is clever enough to modify that idea that the fire outside and the fire inside the mind is different. So he called that fire as a heat represent burning experience that people got from greed, hatred, and delusion. So you can see that this is how Buddhism blends to benefit more, make more people outside India. Persian Empire all the way to Mediterranean. This is how from zero become one. This is how one person call himself as Gautama Buddha try to spread the knowledge. How people will attain that zero in order to look at the whole world to be one. In order to stop harming one another. So the whole world will be peaceful. So now come back to, then what is the message of the Buddha? In order to make people become zero, letting go. How we can practice that kind of letting go? Letting go of what? Called letting go of attachment. Because why we have to let go of attachment? Attachment is good. Because if without attachment, then what? Then I have no responsibility. With no attachment to my responsibility. That is my responsibility to study. Attachment to study. Marry someone, that is my husband. That is, so if I have no attachment to my husband, let him go. He can go any place. Correct? My occupation, my job. Ming Ti study doctor. My job is look after the patient. So when the patient come, help yourself. Letting go. No attachment. So there's a problem. So the word letting go, attachment. What attachment? Attachment to what in that case? In conclusion, say that attachment to this body and mind. That is a problem. Because attachment to this body and mind, that is how greed, hatred, and delusion comes. If letting go of attachment to this body and mind, then greed, hatred, and delusion will not come. And that's why we attain that zero. That's how we attain that nothingness, that kind of blindness, that kind of perfect peace. So now come back to body and mind, to let go body and mind. Then say that why we have to let go of body. Because attachment to body can create headache. When people are looking for beautiful appearance, can create headache to the owner of the body. We were just looking for beauty. Would like this body to be young and beautiful like this all the time. So what happened? Worry. Correct? What can happen when attachment to this body? We're talking about attachment to only the first attachment to the skin, second attachment to the shape, attachment to the fat. Nobody attachment to the fat, okay? Let go of the fat. But for the good skin, please stay back. But fat go away. That is what called the body. Because when we're looking for only that nice shaped body, that beautiful skin, that kind of muscles that we have, six pack, like that. So by that kind of thing, when this body don't listen to us or change, that is how worry happens, that's how unhappiness happens. Unhappiness happens. You know, sometimes people are young and get sick. Sometimes people are young and pass away. When people are young and sick, we are worried, we are stressed, we are not happy. When we die, when we were young, that's really unhappy about it. That is because of not really understanding of the body. So one thing to practice is to let go attachment to the body. Means that we understand the body. It does not mean that we ignore the body. I have no attachment to my body. So I go to KFC every morning. lunch, McDonald's. Evening, Pizza Hut. I let go of my body. Eat everything. That is wrong kind of letting go. Does not mean that we ignore the body. Do the things that are able to maintain this body. Use that lotion. Use that cream, that shampoo, that soap, that cosmetic. Use them. But understand the purpose of using. Why so? This one lady I met many years ago, she's the owner of the business. Then she practiced 8 precepts. And she liked to practice that 8 precepts. Then she just appeared into the office without any cosmetic. Because she has been using cosmetics for a long time. One day she said, turn up, no cosmetic at all. People got shocked. Are you okay? Are you alright? Why you look so pale? No red thing at all? Are you alright? People start to be scared, something wrong, that lady. So she said that eventually I have to come back and use the cosmetic again. People don't really want to talk to me, and don't really want to work with me, think that I'm so sick. So know the purpose, know the reason. If you have husband, don't ignore your body. You have to beautify yourself. If you are a husband and you have a wife, don't ignore your body. Have to look after your body too. Bad smell, she don't let you sleep in the same bed. See? So something that we still need to do, look after this body. Not let it be sick, make it healthy, because we still need to use this body. Now we know that we live in this world, we still have this body to use, because there are many more things that we still need to do. And if we like to do, we can do. Without the body, it's difficult to achieve anything. But if you are already disabled, that's it. We cannot do some certain things. But still can do other things. But better if your hands, your limbs, your eyes, ears still good, because we can do many other things. First thing to attain that zeroness, and second thing to make the whole world become one. At least this purpose. Okay? So letting go of body does not mean ignore the body. Still go exercise. Still have healthy food to eat. If you like some chocolate, take it sometimes. Sleep more as you want, but not to be too lazy. Go for a swim sometimes, it's okay. Tennis, yes, good, why not? Listen to music, okay. Gymnastics sometimes, yoga, tai chi, whatever. Do not ignore the body, because need to maintain good health. But at the meantime, understand that body is impermanent. Do your best, but body is impermanent. If you cannot afford to buy that expensive cosmetic, you can go average. Even though not brand name, still good. You don't have enough to buy that expensive soap. Sunlight is not that bad. I use myself. You become a monk in the first year, travel, walking in the forest. And you don't stay in the temple, you stay most of the time in the forest, moving from place to place. How can you have that good soap? People give any soap, use them all. Sunlight, share to have with my other monk. Okay. Good for washing your bowl and plate, and good for washing your body too. And no worry about shampoo, you don't need it. Just easy, clean. Just enough to maintain the body. eating just enough, eating enough, yummy food, okay, take it, but know that that is to maintain life. So if you know the purpose, know the reasons, do not ignore the body, maintain good health. See? Now, letting go of the mind. Letting go of the mind is very difficult thing. But if we are able to let go attachment to our own mind, that is how we become peaceful. Now letting go attachment to the mind, what does it mean mind? The Buddha make it so simple for us to understand. Because in this day, there are many definitions talking about the mind. But in 6th century BC, in order to search the brain ability of all people to interpret it or to look at the mind, now say they use the word quantum physics. I really don't know. Now they met many people talking about quantum physics. I still don't get it yet. But those days, 600 BC, he said that four things when talking about the mind. First, feeling. Letting go attachment to feeling, let's say. Because feelings happen, stay for a little while and disappear. Nice feeling happens, stay a little while and disappear. That is how feeling is all about. Now we can talk by theory, superficially. But if we go back to our real first-hand experience, in whatever create your nice feeling, you see the same thing. This lunch time, when the nun return, when the chef return, we have some special dish. But 4 weeks ago, when no chef at all, Kim cooking in the kitchen. She's one of the good cook now. She don't know much about cooking Thai food. Then put start to make the first thing, what do you call, gang khieu wan, the green curry soup. Put all the chili paste in. And I enter into the kitchen and say, I still also don't know what. Throw everything into the pan. Yeah, throw vegetable, throw this, throw that, and then it becomes green curry soup, gang khieu wan. Tastes okay, tastes alright. But before that, oh, Kim, how can she cook Thai food? We cook that spicy food or not? Is that tasty lunch that we have years before? Oh, that worry of the mind because of that feeling from eating lunch. But you did really good, what do you call, spaghetti, yummy. That is again feeling. See? Feeling. We're talking about that nice feeling. Our first hand experience. Nice feelings stay temporarily and disappear. Attachment to nice feeling create problems. Meditation to feeling calm, feeling relaxed, peaceful. Attachment to it, then problems happen. This is why Buddha's teaching is all to understand feeling. To understand the feeling. Now we don't force the mind to let go of feeling. Same thing that we don't force the mind to let go attachment to the body. Now to become zero with the feeling does not mean that we stay away from all the nice, beautiful feeling things. In India, they're still practicing now. From the same 6th century BC until now, they still practice what we call Jainism. You heard about that? Self-extreme in modification. No clothes at all. All the hermits gone, what you call, naked. Naked. Whatever eat, to put the food in the hand, eat. And then put another food, eat. Whoever like to offer food to the chain hermit, hermit will not sit, just stand. And you pour the food in the hand. And they will see any animal, no. If see any animal, stop eating completely. No harm to any other beings. So eat food with the hand like that. So I believe that is difficult when you like to offer some good soup to them. Sorry. So this kind of self-denying, denying all kind of pleasure. This is what we call extreme, the other way. It's very surprising that in India until now, Jainism still practice and it exists until now. Yeah. But one thing, it never spread out of India. Whereas Hinduism, Buddhism originate in India, but spread out all around the world, but not Jainism. Because of that extreme way. If the Jain monk get into Qantas flying to Sydney, I don't think the air hostess like to welcome him. Here I myself went to Singapore 20 years ago. Singapore has really high building, and I like to go on top see. But I have no shoes. At that time I didn't wear shoes. Walk barefoot. They say, no, you cannot come in. Why? You have no shoes. You have to put your shoes, then you can go up the building. So don't talking about no clothes at all. So that idea of feeling, attachment to feeling, nice feeling, fear of nice feeling. So no more nice feeling, because one thing, nice feeling always create light or desire. That is what we're talking about, sankhara, thought. Nice feelings always create that desire, thought. That like thought. Oppositely, not nice feeling create anger, hatred, aversion. So this hermit can see whenever something nice happens, like will happen. Would like to have more, want more. And say how we can stop that like. When someone talk nice about us, we feel happy. We like to listen more. But when the person go away, we feel sad. No one talk nice about me anymore, gone already. So that creates that sadness that we call impurity of the heart. We should not feel that sad, should be stable all the time. So in that case, like, desire, demanding, attachment happen because of this feeling. And that's why that hermit stop completely nice feeling. No more nice feeling. And that practice happened 6 BC, beyond that too, that they turn to be naked or sleep on the thorns, walk on the thorns, put themselves in the river in the winter time, hot day, just sit in the sunlight, burn themselves, fasting. No chance for the nice feeling to happen at all. So no like, no dislike. That means pure. The mind is pure. No attachment. Unfortunately, such kind of thing just happened temporarily. We experience that only when we are in pain. Pain too much until the mind has no choice to think of other things. Or even to damage this body, to damage the nervous system in some part of the body, in order not to feel that thing anymore. So in Thailand, recently Prasuman just told me the news. Sorry if we talk about that. One man, elderly man, turned to be a monk, and then he think that his desire to stay back, really strong, romantic desire. And he tried to stop, but he keep on coming in his thought, in his mind. So he cut his that organ. Big news, front page newspaper, called Crazy One. People look at crazy one, correct? People look that crazy one, why you cut it up? Not necessarily. In the Buddha time too, there are some monks did like that. And that is wrong in the discipline, wrong in the nature. That is all fall back into the ancient hermit time. Self extreme modification. Feeling is feeling. That is how wisdom comes to say that feeling is feeling. Contact with nice thing, nice feeling happen. Like thought happen. So to let go attachment to feeling does not mean we gone numb. does not mean we close the eyes all the time. Does not mean that we don't hear any music anymore. Does not mean that we don't smell any nice thing, nor taste the food anymore, nor comfortable feeling anymore. We can do that just some short time when we have so excessive external information that push us. You know, when you have so much fun with, for example, listening to music, listen every day, one day you get sick of it. Correct? Or you never get sick of it. Eating chocolate cake. Every day. I remember that many years ago, when we have one senior monk stay with us, he's 101 years old. And the chef, the chef knows that Pramana liked that noodle soup. And the chef tried to please me, but there are 4 or 5 monks there together. Anyway, every breakfast the chef just cooked the noodle soup. Every day, for 3 months. The end of 3 months, that old monk, 101 years old, asked, "Do you still like noodle?" Have you ever get sick of noodle? When it's too much, then it's from that life is not it start to be this life. So feeling, nice feeling is just to observe that it happens like that, cannot avoid it. But the reaction beyond it is one thing. Now, in order to let go attachment to nice feeling, just know that it's nice. You have to use wisdom to letting go, to let go. Now, we say that in a meditation retreat, like we can retreat in a monastery, we ask people don't use their mobile phone, no email, no internet, whatever, try to observe noble silence, eat limited time. All that seems to be cut off some nice feeling too. But it's just temporarily, because it allows the mind to calm down temporarily, allows the mind to calm down in order to see clear that what we are doing. Because sometimes we stay in the environment, the society, all around us, keep on spinning, and we spin. We didn't know that we spin, but we spin. Like the earth circulates the sun. We didn't know, thought the sun circulated the earth. So to pause, to stop, to stay away from such external objects, external information or influence, it gives the mind to think about it. So stay away from that nice feeling sometimes. It's just for us to reflect, to think about. But it's not really completely letting go of that nice feeling. There are many people came to retreat in our monastery. On that weekend they feel nice, feel peaceful. All of them say the same thing. But when they go back home, I'm not sure. See? So it's just only temporarily that peacefulness, calmness of mind. During the retreat in the meditation teaching, because that is how the feelings act. When we still seeing, hearing, smelling, touching, tasting to the nice object, nice feeling keep on coming. So now to understand the feeling, to have that first-hand experience and then observe how nice feeling come, how nice feeling go. Must have enough experience to observe. Like that noodle soup for 3 months until the old monk said, enough. Same thing, nice feeling that happened to us all the time. After observing, be mindful, observing, see that just come and go, come and go, come and go. And what we see is the impermanent nature of it. And that is only hope that we are able to be free of attachment to that feeling. At least see already that feeling is so impermanent. This is a big step and very important thing. Do not get yourself numb, but experience that nice feeling. Bear in mind keep in your thought that it has that impermanent nature on that nice feeling. That is the start of the wisdom. If that experience is enough, it makes the mind prepare, ready. Any nice feeling come, that thought comes straight away. It's impermanent. At that time, what happened? We all will know that superficially we understand about impermanent, superficially. But some attachments still there, like the hand, attachments to the hand. We know the impermanence of the hand, but whenever gray hair, see the gray hair. You see the gray hair in the head of other people, no problem. Gray hair in this head, problem. Even though superficially we know it's impermanent, but we have to see, contemplate about it often. Until some part of the body starts to be impermanent, then that thought comes, it's impermanent, it changes. Only that moment that wisdom happens, only that moment that letting go happens. Same thing as a feeling. After experience, rise and fall of nice feeling enough. When nice feeling come, we say straight away that impermanent. So letting go of nice feeling happen in the time, in that moment. I drink this tea. Nice tea. After I have drinking millions cups of tea, when I drink, that thought comes straight away, that impermanent nice feeling. Next time, when I come back in May, someone may offer me another cup of tea. Bear in mind, already it's impermanent. Whether it's a Chinese or Turkey tea or Brazil tea or Ceylon tea, whatever tea, it's just that tea. It helps the mind not to attach that nice taste and expectation. So this is the thing that we need to think or apply, contemplate, in order to help us to understand and letting go attachment to the nice feeling. It doesn't mean I stop drinking tea from now, because it makes me nice feeling and I want it. Drink it with understanding. Understand it's impermanent. It's fine. Going to love somebody because that man is so handsome. Start to like him and he smile a lot. And he's quite wealthy. Start to love him now. And he's so nice, so charming, and talk nice to me all the time. Think impermanent. In order to prevent yourself from broken heart. Because he may not act like that forever. Because today he's good mood, he's like that. His father is still wealthy, he's like that. But it can change. So we don't have experience of that pain because of bad relationship. So impermanent. Vice versa. Someone so bad mood to you now. Acknowledge it. But does not mean that next time you bad mood like that. He can turn to be extremely sweet to you. So it's impermanent also. So use both positive and negative experience that happen of that feeling as impermanent. Then we never force ourselves to let go. Now next to the feeling is the thought. Thought include memory and future thought. Because the mechanism of our mind, naturally nice feeling, then thought. Thought happens after feeling, want more, like, expect to happen again. These are part two, impermanent. After we experience firsthand, seeing that thoughts keep on changing all the time, then now we are careful of our own thought. We are careful of our own like or dislike. Get angry with a person or fall in love with that person. Or good thought, or lazy thought, worried thought, stressed, depressed thought, all of these kind of thoughts also change impermanently. By observing one own thoughts long enough, then we bear in mind that that is thought, the nature. Like me, become a monk for 23 years, I still worry, I still feel stressed, because I have many things to do. If you go to Badanun, you can see that I keep on doing things. Yes, I love to do things. I love to use these hands and creativity and learn the new things. Like today, I'm so extremely happy. But yesterday, we did a lot of shopping. I went to shopping for windows and doors to build some meditation hall. Because a few weeks ago, we got a quotation for that windows and door. The first quotation is aluminum window and door, $37,000. And the room is only less little than this room, half of this room, two rooms. In conclusion, about this size, you know, bigger a little bit. And all the windows, first quote, $37,000. Feel so disappointed. Go to the next company, hoping to be better. Yes, email come back, it's only $44,000. Go to the next company. In that case, I just buy the glass, I make my own frame, window and doors. Okay, $13,000. So yesterday, I went to another place. Oh, $5,000 only. Because all of that second hand. Demolition yard. All that big windows, big doors. Oh, so happy yesterday, shopping. $5,000. Not paid yet. But today they start to deliver. And I can see, oh yes, that timber broken. That one rotten. My window cannot open. Oh, spider there in the corner, an insect there. But so good, this is more fun. So today is the first time in my life that I think that how I'm going to make this antique, I put it antique, to be able to put into that place and able to open. So I think how to do it. Then I slowly screw it off, take that bead out, take the frame out, take the glass out, and then start to polish. Oh, now it's looking better. And I'm so happy today on the way to Ginevra's talk. I'm just happy thinking of my windows. Well, I can make the old window to be a looking good one. That is my fun. Every day like that. My hands, always creativity, try things. The tools that never do it, use it. And just break one glass already. Take too long, too hard. So this is all about the thoughts. My meditation, think of a windows now. Not every day I'm so no thought, so peaceful. I have to stop myself, stop, leave it, tell myself, leave my brain blank sometimes, I just think of the breathing, because otherwise my thought just keep on going in that kind of creativity, recycle the things, make the world beautiful, make the gold out of rubbish, that's my policy. Like Prasumun has been working so hard, a lot of months, recycle everything that people throw away. See, from that $44,000, you pay $5,000. This is what something that makes us so happy. And that's why thoughts happen like that. So sometimes I feel depressed too, so I'm not happy with myself. Because I break one glass, should not do. Cut that wrong timber, and see. I have to correct it again. I paint the wrong stuff on that timber, I polish it out again. Sometimes that depressed happens. Sometimes that worry happens. Sometimes that angry thought happens. Sometimes I feel that, why I have to do all this? I'm a monk, I'm not a carpenter. I should let go of everything and go into my heart and meditate. It's fighting in my brain. And observe that is impermanent nature of thought. That is a thought. Play around. So when any thought happens, bear in mind that is impermanent nature. In order to separate your consciousness with the thought, separate from another. So you are not your own thought. Thought just leave one part of your mind activity. So this helps us a lot. Whenever depressed thought come, feel so sad, feel so low, feel so down, feel hopeless, feel no more respect to yourself, observe. That is the play of thought. Or sometimes happy thought, active thought happen, observe as well. Loving thought happen, observe as well. Respect thought happen, observe. Observe all these kind of thoughts that keep on coming and changing. In everyday life, they come and go like this. See? So once observing, understanding impermanent nature of thought, that's how we are able to let go oneself, attachment to that thought. So observing, understanding, this is purely the work of wisdom. But how we become that stable observer, how we become that kind of peaceful observer, see impermanence of feeling, so we are able to let go attachment to the feeling. See impermanence of thoughts, and we are able to let go attachment to thoughts. Now it's coming to the practice. Now we complete the theory to become that zero, to become that perfect peace, to achieve that completely non-attachment to body and mind. We cover feeling and thought. Another one is quite difficult is consciousness itself. Mindfulness, awareness itself still have to let go. Now, what? Let go mindfulness? Yo. No. Letting go of mindfulness, letting go of consciousness. Because this is the most difficult thing to talk. In conclusion, this is what we call anatta, non-self. We come back to that I can do good, I can follow what the Buddha teaching. I stop doing bad, I do good come back. But my soul will be up there after I die. I will be with the Buddha up there. This still considered as not right understanding. Still have that self, that I, not zero yet. Because after I die, I go to the heaven, and the Buddha waiting there for me. That I is still there. This is the most difficult thing to understand. All religions in the world talking about I, Atta, Ataman, to reunite with the Supreme Beings there, to reunite with Brahma over there, with God over there, except Buddhism. No more reunite, because no more existing. Already, no one exists, no I exist. That's why no one die, no one born. This is the most difficult thing. But this is what makes Buddha's teaching different from the other teachings in the world. And this is the heart of the Buddhist teachings. If don't understand, not really know this subject, Buddhist teachings not different from Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Jainism, or Judaism at all. Because all the other parts in Buddhist teachings, mostly just morality. What else not morality? Not else. What else that other religion don't teach? Can you share with me? What thing else that other religion never teach? Apart from this, anatta non-self. Anyone can think of anything? Gratitude. Christianity talk gratitude. Islam, Hindu, Judaism. Unconditional love, loving kindness. Oh, Christianity say, someone slap this one side. You see? Treat your neighbors, look after your neighbors well, love them. It's unconditional love. Dana, generosity. Oh, there are so many Christianity missions, help the whole world, correct? What you call YMCA and many organizations. Then what else? Deep meditation, deep concentration, chana. Oh, Hindu hermit done before the Buddha was born, thousands of years. The evidence appear in terracotta in Harappan civilization. 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years before the Buddha was born, already Indian people know how to sit meditation. Deep concentration on it. So what else? Heaven and hell, all you can talk about that. So I give this homework for you all. Searching. What else that Buddhist teaching teach and totally different from others? But in conclusion, only this one, non-self, anatta, letting go completely of everything. So now the problem of soul, the problem of consciousness, the problem of self-existence, this thing is a major problem. But this is how the Buddha let us slowly observe. He know already that to get into the heart of something, cannot go direct, then go slow, step by step. If I refer to, for example, the history, Julius Caesar tried to attack, we call Gaul, France or German. You know that the people in that city, correct? Before he became the king. Then he had to surround that group and prevent the other helpers to come. And he slowly defeat them. They just surrender themselves. So this is how the strategy of the Buddha's teaching. Slowly looking at the body first. Easy to see. Body change, impermanent. Letting go of the body is the first target. Really easy. Because people see impermanence of body every single day. Now move higher. First we call Kayanupassana Satipatthana, contemplation on the body. Second, Vedananupassana Satipatthana, contemplation on feeling. Look at the feelings impermanent. Letting go in attachment to feeling. It's not your feeling, it's just nature feeling. Now Cittanupassana Satipatthana, look at the thoughts, look at that memory. Keep on changing, follow the way of nature. Now come to the highest place, Dhammanupassana Satipatthana. Seeing that impermanent nature of all of this body and mind, and look where is self. What is self? Where is your soul? See, to the, we call the highest point. Understand, letting go of it. And that is how completely letting go of body and mind. And then see zero-ness, voidness, non-selfness in this body and mind. But the mind, body still function. Only totally transform understanding of this body. This is what we call wisdom, realization. Then it becomes zero. Like talk in the Monday language, everyday language, Pramana is sitting here. But we're talking to that level of truth, no Pramana sitting here. It's just body and mind. Sitting, talking, functioning, hearing, feeling, thinking. It's just body and mind. That belongs to no body. It just change all the time. And this is what the quantum physics talking about. That I can understand. They just change. Molecule, atom, keep on flying. Nothing stop. But if you know how to arrange them, you get a lot of power. This is called the power of the mind. Power of penetration, see the truth. Power of calmness, power of love, they all come because of this zero. If the mind not zero, get this power finished. But when the mind becomes zero, a lot of power, like this cup. Because the cup is zero, that's why you can put the tea. If you go shopping, buy a tea cup and they are solid. Solid, solid. It's not called a cup, it's no use at all. But because it got a hollow space, that's why you can use it. It becomes useful. Like this bell too. If this bell, solid bell, nothing, not that beautiful. But when? Zero-ness, the space, that's how it becomes beautiful and multi-purpose. You can drink tea too. That's how zero, that means Nibbana. Zero form attachment. That is perfect peace. Body and mind still function. And that is how it becomes one with the whole world. No more difference, no more discrimination. Because when this self disintegrate, still here, but disintegrate in the nature attachment, you look at everyone. You see man, woman, but look in natural process, purely no man, no woman. Alright? Or look in physical world, after take off all the skin out, take out some muscle, fat out, see the skeleton. If you have no anatomy knowledge, you don't know it's male or female. Look the same. So the wisdom eyes that look through all beings become one. Even dogs and cats become one. Like the cat in the monastery, for example. When the nuns did not return for 4 weeks, the cat feels so lonely. Every night, we thought that he's hungry, feed him, he still just need attention. Even the cats need to be loved. See? On the weekend, when the young volunteer students came to help the monk working, in the evening, before they go back from the Dushanti, the cats climb up the window, like to get into the meditation hall and do chanting. The cat did not do, but he just like to sit nearby, sleep nearby, all the boys and girls, like that. Feel love, feel happy. But when all that boy and girls gone back from Monday to Friday, the cat never cried to come into meditation room. Never want to do the chanting with a monk at all. Even the cat needs that attention, that love. So we are one. Or we have baby peacock in the monastery now. And the mother, you see how much love and clever of the mother. There are two female, mother and auntie. And you can see when you throw the food for them, the baby always run and try to eat. Eat the food nearby the mother, mother eat first, the baby come, take the food from the mother, mother just let go. Let the baby eat. But auntie, no. Take out the food first. And if the baby comes, the auntie attack the baby. I can see clearly. And the mother observe, oh, auntie, you attack my baby? Mother attack the auntie. Yeah. So we can see that every time throw the food to the mother, as a mother still eating, the baby come, take the food from the mouth of mother. Mother let go. See how much love of mother to the baby. And the mother know how to save the baby life. Because we got many foxes in our area. And we worry that if we let them go, get out of the cage, we will be killed by the fox. But mother and father are very clear. Father go to the lower branch, cry. In the evening before that, and the baby, little wing, the baby, how can I find dad and mom? My wing only this much. But something surprisingly, Mom and Dad seem to know the right time to call the baby fly up. The baby no confidence, only big wing. Mother, father, big wing. But finally the baby try and he go a little bit to the lower body branch. Then mom go higher. Mom go. And baby, oh mom, wait. Yeah, and he slowly try so hard to go slowly go up. So eventually now every evening the baby know how to sleep on top of the tree. Same from the fox. And you can see this kind of love. Mother, father sleep lower branch to protect any animals climbing up at night. Mom and baby up there. The natural instinct. How, and I ask Prasuman, how can the baby know between mother and auntie? Because for me, both of them look the same. I cannot differentiate between which one is my auntie. But instinctively, I think they know. By smell, maybe by the sound, by the walking gesture, whatever, the baby knows this is mother and to be seen. So this is all instinct that mankind and animals not different. By understanding the sureness, peacefulness of mind, can look at all beings are in the same circle, traveling in this life, up and down, birth and death. And how we can help one another to be peaceful, to be happy. So by this little understanding from one person, if anyone tried, everyone tried to practice and attain that non-attachment, and attain that zero-ness, or we call voidness, no attachment in the mind, more people connected to one another. So I hope that the whole world will be more peaceful. Okay, this is a summary of this 101 quote. Any question?
You said that they have four things, right? Just describe three.
You mean satipatthana? Oh, means the nature of the mind.
Yeah.
We talk about feeling, memory and thought, I conclude them together. And then consciousness itself, or the soul, mindfulness itself. Like meditation, mindfulness should be here, sometimes gone, disappear. Or impermanence of mindfulness, impermanence of consciousness. You come back next time, you see Paramana Chen. A few weeks ago, I went to see dentist because I chewed something really hard. And my joint here, what do you call this cat? What do you call this soft bone? Cartilage. What do you call
it?
Cartilage. Damage. So I cannot chew properly. A few pain. And the dentist actually said, oh, this one damage or not. I think you have to put that kind of prevent the dog to bite. I told them this, yes, please give me. Oh, you have to order. Don't worry, I go to the pet shop. Yes. Stabilize my jaw. Then I put the sign up. Beware, he bites. Muscles, got it? What do you call this one?
No questions at all? No? Everyone's gone to the zero part.